Hey, you are listening to The Workplace Leader. This is the podcast where we go behind the scenes of corporate real estate, talking to industry experts about how they shape the next generation workplace.
I'm your host, Sabine M., and in today's episode, I'm speaking with Raimund Petzmann. Raimund is VP Logistics Network Expansion and Real Estate at Zalando. Hi, everyone. Another exciting conversation for me. We've been ramping up to this for quite a while because my guest today is a busy man. And I'm with Raimund Petzmann from Zalando. Hi, Raimund. Thanks for coming.
Hi, Sabine. And sorry for all this hustle to get into this final appointment. It was really a busy period over the last 2 months. So thanks for staying with me.
No worries. You know the German saying that if it takes a long time, it's going to be good. So
I hope that I can fulfill your hopes.
I'm sure you can. I like to start with a little, I call it housekeeping or setting of the scene. Can you tell us what your role at Zalando is and how you got to get there? What's your professional background?
So my role, so we recently had a change. That's also the reason why it took a little bit longer. Just from 1st of January on, my new role is actually logistic network expansion and real estate. The background is a little bit that we said we have actually two big initiatives. One is future of work and another one is expanding our logistic network as the leading e-commerce company in Europe. And we wanted to have focus on it and saying I'm doing it from a theme, more the logistic network expansion, and of course still office and retail expansion from a real estate perspective. But we basically changed a very interesting part. I think we will come later to this, that the Zalando technology solutions, so the digital workplace, will also take over the real workplace. So that was a recent development. But overall, I overlook all the real estate of Zalando offices. We have some retail with our outlet stores. And a very important part, our logistics centers, where we have in the moment 8 in Europe, and we are expanding, growing fast. So we have to add additional logistics centers. The background is actually, I have a completely different background. I studied once political science, so completely different, but that's a long, long, long time ago. Then I decided I have to get serious. Maybe political science is a breathless art. And then I had to become professional, and I somehow, really in this case, I landed somehow in real estate. I found it very interesting, the office world, being with an office developer. And then very early, actually, in the 1990s, I got approached by Amazon, and then I was working for Amazon doing also offices, logistics, and real estate. Then actually had a short break because then was the time after 9/11, the dot-com bubble was a little bit about to burst. And however, they called me back and I came back to Amazon, and I was there for 14 years net, basically, doing all the customers. So I was, at the end, I was responsible for customer service centers and for logistics, of course, but also this workplace component. And after some time, I decided I need something new. I also want to help some European companies to get successful. Zalando was a very interesting company. I really liked the founders and everyone in the interviews. And I came to Zalando doing what I'm doing now, being responsible for all the real estate. So funny development, I would say, from political science in real estate.
Well, it's not the funniest I've ever heard. I've been in conversation with someone who had been an opera singer before coming into the real estate world. So I think that's even more exotic than the political science.
Yeah. And to be honest, sometimes you really need it because you have to negotiate with politicians when we look for new locations. And our logistics centers, just to put it in a perspective, they're 120,000 square meters large. So they're really big. We employ something like 3,000 people. So it has also a political component, that you have to talk to governments, to authorities. And it's definitely not the wrongest tool in your bag, and also legal. You learn a lot about legal. But it's interesting how you end up in fields.
I think another aspect of it is actually that companies making decisions on where they have locations does influence the local community. If there's then other business also going there, it influences tax, politics, maybe. And then, yeah, it is actually very political at times, the ripple effect you can create.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's we're already in the middle of it. If you also wait, you know, if you hear all the announcements, everyone is talking about the models they're bringing out, full flexibility, work from wherever you want. And if you have this background, you actually understand that's not so easy because, you know, we have tax regulations. We have regulations where actually your company is based. Many, you know, social security, it's basically not so easy as some people say. And that's probably also helpful with my background that I understand a little bit. It's not just because you want it that you can work from everywhere you want.
Now, you've tapped briefly into recent changes. And I want to make sure that I, first of all, understood it and would like to understand a little bit more what the reasoning behind it is. So, as I understand it, you are responsible now for real estate, kind of as the shell of office spaces, workplaces, and for the logistics part, I'm assuming fully for the whole, like what's in the distribution centers as well, to acquiring the land, the shell, whatever. But the workplace kind of insights with a D, are part of the IT organization.
Exactly. Just had to do because they hired a brilliant lady, Tanya Miller, and she was responsible for the digital workplace. We worked already closely together. And they said it was, the background was a little bit that we had these huge challenges. And to be honest, I said once in some course, sorry, I cannot do both. It's both topics. If you really want to do them seriously, it's a little bit like solving world hunger because everyone is talking about it and doing this both projects in parallel, really thinking about the details of the workplace. So I have my opinion and how, you know, how we can provide the offices, but how you manage it, you know, from a technology standpoint and what is the working model is just a topic for itself. And that was the reason why we said, why not bringing together digital workplace? Because they organize actually in the future, probably most of the time because you work from home. And I think that will be the majority. And at the same time saying, okay, we have to adapt the workplace also in a digital way, enabling hybrid meetings and some other things. So we found and felt that this is a good combination.
In a way, it is a sign for a remote work setup becoming equal to an office setup and those both being workplaces that you can choose from and making sure you have the same tools and probably ergonomical desk, chair at home as you have in the office. So it's equally supporting you in being productive and effective and happy in the end.
You hit the nail on the head. And it's actually, I'm also having one of these fancy tables now where you can actually adjust the height. And that's also something what we offered was one of the last things we did from a real estate perspective, saying we offer everyone the ergonomic workplace that they have a chair in the table. And of course, digital workplace had to provide the means, you know, to do, you know, the meetings. Maybe even sometimes you had to help with the Wi-Fi because it was not working. So it was a big challenge. And you're right. It's actually giving the equal remote and office.
Yeah. I'm kind of jealous of that height adjustable table. Now, remote work becomes a valid option for Zalando. I'm reading here, while I understand you're still debating what it will mean in the end in terms of choice, flexibility, and so on. The question, I think, for many organizations is, can actually all be digital? I recently had, and I know you've listened to the episode, the head of remote from GitLab, who are completely remote. They don't have any office location. And they say everything can be done digitally. Now with Zalando, where you have a really big logistics portfolio as well, where things cannot happen in the digital world, but goods need to be moved, it looks a little bit different. What's your view on that?
Exactly. And you mentioned actually the challenge what we have, because of course we have actually our bigger workforce is working in the logistics centers. And they cannot work from home. So it's impossible that you allow them to pack parcels from at home. And, you know, the logistic would be just amazing, actually a very interesting model to think it through. But that's one of our challenges that we also want to try to treat, you know, that we have a similar work culture and not too privileged in the thought workers, or you know, the white collars that they are called sometimes. And that's of course one of the biggest challenges, and how you bring it together from a cultural aspect. That you know, what is actually the purpose, and that's something what is very important for me. That there's a lot of technicality how you fix it. You know, what is the culture coming to the office or not? But it's first of all, you have to agree what is your culture, what you're trying to achieve in the office, why you want people in the office. There's no reason to have people in the office just for the sake of it. That you can say, I count my people every day, or the manager can see, okay, that's my empire. I have all the people here. That's not the purpose. It's about culture. And and that's what we spoke briefly about it. I found it very interesting to talk about the culture. And in a certain way, it is right, but I still think culture is a local one. Nobody would ask questions or challenge if you say that maybe someone who grew up in New York is different than somebody in Minnesota from a mindset. So there can be, of course, a lot of, doesn't mean it's a typical person, but the approach of it, if you're in a vibrant city and you grew up, you had to go to school, it's maybe completely different than a countryside man. You know? And there's nothing bad or worse, but it's a different environment. And even if you're in New York or London or maybe Munich or Hamburg, it's a difference because there's a different environment around you. And I think that's somehow a coining element to even a city and the office as well. You know, that's actually where you come together and where you feel the culture. And a lot, I find it interesting when you have farewells, you know, people talking about I'm going. And we had recently one of our CEOs, actually founders, left the company. And this was also during the online time. And his two colleagues prepared something. And it was all about buildings. It was all about, do you remember when we said starting Zalando, you know, in this office with 40 people? Do you remember when we moved in this office? There was so much reference to office. And that's why I think office place is still a coining element, and at least for the ones in the offices, but even in the logistics, it's also what kind of logistics center you have, how much you take care of welfare of people, what kind of canteen do you have, is something what you take away.
It is still an important touch point. I'm thinking of an analogy actually to expats, because I know so many stories of people moving to another city and just not meeting friends, not getting connected with the local communities, and therefore feeling isolated, and in the end going back to where they started. So the same way, I think if you start in a company and you never have that touch point to exchange with colleagues, to see them, to see what the company's putting out. Recently I had someone on who said the office is kind of the body language of an organization, expressing the brand and the values and these kind of things. It's important still to be able to do that if you want it. And that's where the choice probably is coming in, and doing that consciously. But it brings me to kind of a conflicting things. If you offer that flexibility and choice, how do you tackle space and capacity planning?
So I can see you had a lot of similar talks already, because I think that's the holy grail almost, how you preach it, because it here. Everyone is talking, and also we at Zalando, we are still in kind of an explorative phase. And I think for everyone, it will be explorative, hopefully when this pandemic is a little bit of over in summertime. But the challenge is, if you say something like we have 40% office presence and maybe 60% home office, and that's a little bit the direction as a minimum without having any mandatory things. But how do you manage it? Because in general, you would say 60% less capacity. But since you want to offer flexibility, and for many people, it's very important that they can actually decide when they want to come to the office, then you know, how you manage it. Can you really afford that you have for everyone a desk and say it's just waiting for you when you want to utilize it? How can you make sure the teams come together? Because that's also important. Again, you don't want to come back and have the worst of two worlds, going in the office and work heads down and open your laptop and have calls all the time. So you want to have a different experience. And how you manage this without being too bespoke or too much guardrails, did you tell people how to come in, and how you deal with the capacity? And I think it's not very often people think, you know, that's about companies or corporates want to save money. Of course, it's also everyone has to look at the costs being successful. But for me, it's also live in a world where sustainability is important. The carbon footprint, just having an office what is just utilized 50%, is it the right thing? Is it the right thing in a time where property becomes more expensive and residential becomes more expensive? Is it the right thing still to keep all this office stock? just you can, because you maybe have the money, or is it maybe better to release it and say, okay, we actually want to make sure in the future that they build more residential, because now we have office space and we can focus more on the residential. And that's the kind of challenges you face. And maybe you will ask whether we have the answer. Unfortunately, not yet. So that's what we have to find. And I guess nobody has the answer yet how to do. Technology will be certainly something, how you can booking tools, but it's not only an individual booking tool. You actually need a kind of team booking tools. How can you actually pull a whole team in a certain area where you make sure you sit together? And then the next challenge is maybe the team next to you. Is it a team you also have some interactions with? Because maybe sometimes there might be two teams which have nothing to do with each other, and you also have a problem. So that's the challenges of organizing workplace, I would say.
Yeah, and you're bringing up an important aspect here as well, that if I go to the office, I don't want to be alone there, because then I could have just stayed at home. So ideally, I want to meet people from my team. Ideally, I want to meet people that I usually work with. But actually, there might be people that I should meet that I don't even know of. So that concept of serendipity, how can that still work? How can you engineer around that without being like super strict? Okay, these teams go in on this day, and now you go in on this day, and then you mingle, please, because that's not going to work, I guess.
No, exactly. And it's not only about serendipity. There's also some serendipity in what it has something to do with you, because serendipity in general, that you're maybe sometimes you have nothing to do with a person in another department because they're doing something completely different and you never touch their world because it's just not your world. But you have 80% of the departments you work close, and then you would actually like to make sure if you meet someone, it's at least someone is doing something similar. And I think this engineering, and that's for me also, what the concept of a city was. City is actually the absence of physical space between people. And that helps you, that you have the stimuli outside. Why you live in Berlin, because you hear sometimes conversations, you walk the street, and that you have so many things you have to digest. And that's something what is the difference to a countryside in the office. And in the office is the same. You meet people, you hear something. The time when, the pandemic was a little bit, the burden was a little bit lifted and you could go to the office, it was amazing. You meet sometimes people and you just walk up the stairs and you solve a topic where you need normally a meeting of half an hour, because it's just you exchange, and this kind of things, it's important. How to engineer this is exactly what you said. It's hard, and you need to find ways, and you also need the willingness of people that they say, okay, I'm ready to take certain guardrails, that we have some kind of concept behind it, because otherwise, it's, for me, I think it's just too random, and then probably you have this, that you come to the office and you're very disappointed because nobody you know is there. And then you will ask the question, why should I actually go to the office? Does not make sense.
I just recently had a conversation with a colleague who was like, so I was saying, I kind of miss the spark. Why don't we have this crazy ideas anymore? And I was like, mostly because we were in a lockdown in Switzerland again. We didn't meet in the office. So we went on the Zoom, we went off the Zoom, and those conversations around topics and in between meetings, they just didn't happen. So this ideation process is also not happening, kind of, because you're not allowing the time. Then you have like meetings back to back mostly, or oftentimes actually.
Yeah, and that's what you hear very often, that this ideation is really, really difficult. Also for me now, having a new team and working closer with other teams, normally you would say, no, we have actually a workshop for one day, just sitting, having all this what comes together, the lunch break, the coffee break, have these conversations. And by the way, one important part is also in serendipities and also city and offices, diversity. We talk a lot about diversity. And there's talk, for example, some people say maybe it's a better model, hybrid work for introverts, because they can sit, the big articles about it saying they can sit at home now, they feel maybe better, and they can contribute more because it's a kind of a equal voice, one tile. In a certain way, it's true. But on the other side, as soon as you start hybrid, you will see a situation that actually the extrovert will come to the office. And, for me, it's a high risk that actually the extroverts create the world. They do it anyway already to a certain way, because that's the ones they're actually going out. But if you have this environment and maybe people experiencing some microaggression, or they, even if they think it, they are maybe the first one staying at home, and that's the last thing what you want. So even this topic, you know, how to create and continue the diversity, because also everyone is very important for the company. The few is very important. Otherwise, you do not have the full picture.
It's kind of a fine line to walk to say, okay, we'll give you choice, but at the same time to make sure that the choice doesn't lead to certain people coming to the office and other people not. And of course, people in the office will always be more visible. It's just natural somehow that if there is someone present, you get more signals than if someone is on the screen. So it's that really fine line and making sure that, someone who's remote is incorporated the same way and somehow gently encouraged to still take part in what's moving the company. Kind of, and not just like, okay, I'm going to do my focus work. Here you go. Done with my things. Maybe being super, super productive, but never being kind of heard.
And you missed this. And that's also, you have actually a business and we have a big team in our company, event team. You know, they're just making sure that you have events. And why you do events? Because you want to create this multi-sensual experience, because that's what sticks. And there was also an interesting, unfortunately, I cannot share from whom it came, but I had some exchange with someone with a big tech company, and they have actually done a study, and they were looking into two reference groups, one being more meeting in person and another one almost just 100% online in summer last year. And there was an interesting observation that the group being in the office, they had more remembrance of meetings. You know, they could more what happened in the meeting, what was said, who was in the meeting, while other people completely forgot what actually happened. If you ask them, 6 months ago, you know, there was this meeting. Can you remember? Can you recall? So this kind of question. And I found this also very interesting because we are multi-sensual persons. You know, we see it. And also at the beginning of the pandemic, I always remember I was sometimes so tired. And I said to my wife, I don't get it. I was always busy. You know, I had meetings, and sometimes moving rooms. And she had actually a very simple, and she's also in the event business, she had a very simple explanation saying, you know, because you're always in the same room, you have no system, you just switch, you know, one call ends and the next call opens, and you're always in the same environment. There's not the meeting room, which is yellow, or this has a different chair, or you walk at the stairs and you talk to someone. All this elements help you to remember and build a framework for your, for what has been done. And I think it's also a very interesting aspect that the office provides this, and maybe home office, not at least, is always the same stimulus.
Yeah. I still want to get a neuroscientist on, because I think this is very basic and he or she could probably explain very well why that is the case and why things work well and others will not work, no matter how hard we try to make it work in the hybrid scenario. Thinking about hybrid, do you see other limitations?
So, and hybrid always depends. So there's one hybrid. I think if you have a clear distinction between hybrid and hybrid is, you know, in the one part is in the home office and everything is online, and maybe the other one is office, and I think it's clear. But everything what is discussed in the moment is a bit more, how you say it, it's more, you know, the barriers between are not really there, because the worst for me is actually hybrid. What happens if you go to the office and you have the current office set up and half of the team is in the office, the other half is online? And even if you try to provide this, what many people talk about, saying, you know, one person, one tile, so that you actually have to go with your laptop, not in the meeting room, to be inclusive. But what kind of environment you create? Suddenly all the people are sitting in an open plant office, laptop open, and have calls. And that's for me one of the challenges. And again, something where I think you should have, if you come to the office, it should be different. You should have this experience. You should have moments that matter. You should talk to people without, then it's the extreme. Some others just talk like you have just permanent offsites coming to the office. You know, you're just sitting together and you have this kind of event set up, you know, that you just talk and you have meetings. That's also not the right thing. You have to find the balance. And that's probably one of the biggest challenges. And I think somehow it will organize it if you try to provide the guardrails, but you have to do something, because otherwise it will be difficult to be done.
So I was thinking, because you mentioned the event managers, and I know that a couple of companies, also some of them that I had on the podcast, were looking into community managers to organize kind of these activities for people to meet others kind of serendipitously, but at the same time providing kind of a framework, because it's really awkward if you meet someone that you haven't known and what do you talk about and that. So like organizing workshops and like get-togethers that have like a meaning to them. Is that something that you're looking into as well? I mean, probably less for the distribution center than other locations.
There are discussions about it. For example, we had we just opened a new headquarter, and there was also Market Orange, as it was called. You know, others would call it a restaurant or a canteen. And of course, with this setup, it's also hard to operate a canteen. I think you cannot do this anymore, that it's profitable or cost covering. And there was also discussion, how could you do it? Could you do certain cooking events, invite a local chef and doing something, you know, just for the lunch that people come together? But on the other side, I think you have to do something also like community managers, or, you know, especially at the beginning, because we're all not used anymore. It's really sometimes when you come to the office, it's strange, but I would not overdo it. You know, that you just say suddenly everything is an event, because it's still work, and you want to meet people and you want to do something and just sit together and maybe say we have one day of meeting, and instead you have actually one day in the home office free where you can do emails, because that's also something. You're so much involved in the course, also the problem that we get together, because you're back to back from morning to evening, and writing emails became terrible sometimes, because there's almost no window. And there could be something, say, maybe we arrange all the meetings during the time we are in the office, and instead you get one day back where you just say that's actually for silent work, or you know, heads down, you can actually work on something. And by the way, that's also something what, just one further thought, I had once the idea that maybe people don't want to come back to the office because the office is also wrong designed. You figure out that this development of the huge open plan, you hear very often that people say, suddenly I can focus at home, I'm not disturbed, nobody is talking. And maybe we have been on the wrong way for a longer time, that we created this huge open plan, what works, and it's coming a little bit out of startups. And it works, of course, if you have a startups and the first 100 people work together, it's like a war room. That's a nice atmosphere and you like it. But if the company grows and has to become scalable, a different team, what once was nice is maybe not nice anymore, because you want to work silently. And maybe the person beside you is not automatically someone you work with. And I also think we have to rethink how we design offices in the future, make it more for departments that they can really sit together and have this exchange, you know, this serendipitous exchange, also saying, you know, I'm working on something, do you have an idea? Or where you have the flip chart or the whiteboard always open and say, okay, there are all the ideas. And for this week, that's what the team is doing.
A lot of it probably coming, and I'm thinking about that because I've just been to a workshop around workplace strategies as well, that we used to look at workplace very one-dimensionally, and that one dimension oftentimes was a cost question for companies. How can we make space efficient, and not so much looking at that touch point for culture, for those meetings to happen, for people to connect in these kind of things. When I got to know you, you were presenting at an online event and you had that one slide with that bridge on it, and there was no water underneath it because the riverbed had moved. And I wanted to ask you, do you feel this is what companies' real estate portfolios might be now? The office buildings and the rivers gone?
Exactly. It's actually a good analogy. And that's what I also meant at this time, that I said sometimes, you know, your strong beliefs, they change. You know, you think it's actually written in stone, or you built this massive, and this picture was actually a famous bridge what has been built, you know, concrete. And there was this Hurricane Mitch, I think it was. And the bridge was standing there, but the riverbed has moved. And that was actually the point where I thought, you know, sometimes you have such fundamental changes, you know, about your fundamental beliefs, because everything is changing, and it means you have to adapt, because even the water can go. And that's a little bit the scenario we're in now. We have to reinvent ourselves and find a new way how to do it in a useful way. I think it's still necessary to come to the office, and not because to make people come to the office and say, you have it's still an employer you have to come to because that's the way it is. You need the office to be creative, to develop or invent new things, you know, ideation, everything. And that's where we have to find new ways in the future and rethink and really ask all the questions. Is it the right way? A very good point that that's actually one of those moments where you have to rethink, you know, what is actually the framework of your thinking? And is there maybe something you have to change because it has changed?
And probably scrub the rows and rows of desks we're thinking about when we think of the office building and think about what else can an office building house for the company, which is like a really good way for me to connect to a question that I ask all my podcast guests. And it is, if you could magically solve any real estate, future of work, workplace problem, what would it be?
Oh, it's the wish for real estate, because you also have to deal with a lot of regulations. And of course, the wish would be complete flexibility, because that's also limiting you sometimes, that you cannot just, you know, we thought about, since I'm also still for the physical space, can you build some walls? Can you change the setup? But no, you cannot. You know, if I would wish something, and of course, without bending the rules or saying, you know, I don't care what's happening, but if there would be some magical thing that you can actually make real estate more flexible, because that's one of the things, and probably why it's also called in German Immobilie, that means it's something that is not mobile.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest limitations. If I could solve something in a magical way, I would probably say make real estate flexible and movable. But that's a wish that will never come true, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, that's why we're in the magical world. We would have to say, though, that Germany is probably the master of regulations for any kinds of things. So I think in other markets, it might be more doable. Well, not moving the whole building, but moving parts of it. And then the last one for you, and then I'll release you, is who else should I have on this podcast? And is there something you would like to ask them?
I've heard one from MIT also talking about serendipity. And I would be a little bit with you, you know, have someone with neuroscience or this kind of things, because that's missing sometimes. I would like to hear someone more from a different perspective, seeing it from a different angle, more from a, you know, from a cultural angle, and you know, what it makes with you. Because for me, that's one of the topics that for me is far too technical and too much about agreements, workplace agreements, how you organize your work. But this, what is surrounded, how much does the culture matter? It's something what is missing. And that would be also an interesting conversation I would like to have with this person. So, but I, for, unfortunately, do not have a name at the top of my head, but this would be the kind of person I would like to hear on this podcast.
Okay, I'll do my best. Thank you for coming on, Raimund, and taking the time out of your schedule. Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure on my side. It's really good to talk about these things. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode of The Workplace Leader, there's more. Go visit our blog and have a look at some of the other topics we have covered. Or tune into our next episode of The Workplace Leader.